But you take your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 7 here tonight. Romans chapter 7. While you're turning there, let me give you an update on our Bible conundrum. I emailed, and I think I mentioned this the other day. I emailed and let them know that, you know, it's like, well, I'm sorry. You know, I'm not going to be able to send those Bibles back because we've already used them. They're not in new, pristine condition. So I got an email from them, I think it was yesterday, and they decided that they were going to, since we couldn't return them for resale, they were going to go ahead and just refund the money as defective. My first thought was, hallelujah, we get our money back. And my second thought was, wow, that's a way to describe the Bibles. It's like they're defective, all these changes, hundreds of changes in the Bible. And then she added this other comment. It says, in the future, if you're looking for a King James Bible, you probably want to go to another publisher because Whitaker House does make some changes, updating the English, they said. So anyway, defective Bibles. So they admitted themselves they were defective. So anyway, Romans chapter 7, verse 18. And the thought I was thinking, again, to get my mind working on my study here tonight. I wasn't planning this on purpose, but in the midst of the holidays, when people tend to eat a little more, we're talking about victory over our flesh. So anyway, Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Notice it says here, just by way of introduction, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. We'll talk about this passage here in a moment, but as you know, with the flesh, it's talking about the sinful element of our human nature that is in opposition to God the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:17 says, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. So as we think about perfectionism being work of the flesh and how God perfects us, as the first two lessons we had in this battling the flesh, I want you to consider here that the flesh is antagonistic against the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verse 8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Talking about being in the flesh, we're talking about being motivated by the desires of the flesh. And every once in a while I hear a preacher say, you know, somebody will say or talk about it, says, well, I was almost in the flesh. Well, if we say we're almost in the flesh, we probably were in the flesh because we were in the spirit then at that point. But as we think about that victory over our sinful flesh, I want for us to consider here tonight how we experience increasing victory over our sinful flesh. First of all, you don't need to turn. I'm just going to quote these verses for the sake of time here tonight. Watch and pray. Jesus himself said to his disciples, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we have a spirit within us. The Holy Spirit works with that spirit. And our spirit, as it's been quickened by the Holy Spirit, wants to do what is right with God. The problem is we still have that sinful flesh that battles against that, does not want that. In Mark 14, verse 38, here's how it's worded. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Our flesh is extremely weak. Now, I want you to think about the context of Jesus saying that. Just hours before, Peter made a bold promise to the Lord. I'm going to die with you. I'll go all the way to the death with you, Lord. And of course, Jesus says, will you? You know, before this night is through, you're going to be denying me three times. Now, Peter cannot stay awake for 1 hour in the context of Jesus saying that. Yeah, I'm going to die with you, Lord. And then he can't watch with Jesus for an hour. What can't you watch with me for an hour, Jesus asks. Then he would soon be denying knowing the Lord three times. So as you think about that command that Jesus gave to his disciples, watch and pray. So when you think about our sinful flesh, there's a reason why, if we would honestly look at our lives, when we're struggling with something in our flesh, if we honestly look at our lives, we know that there is something that is lacking spiritually. In fact, it's probably that we're not watching and we're not praying as we should. Second of all, I want you to consider also we must become a servant of righteousness. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. To have victory over our flesh, increasing victory over our flesh, our sinful nature, we need to become a servant of righteousness. Romans chapter 6, verse 12 and following. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. So this is a mortal body that's dying. But again, we're talking about the sin nature that we must do battle with. that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. So don't yield your eyes, your hands, whatever, to, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. All right, so we're talking about serving God with this physical body that God has given to us. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? I can do as I please. Well, you do as you please, and you're going to become a slave to what you want to do. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, wait a minute, I'm still dealing with the sin nature. I want you to consider our new nature does not want to sin. This is the battle that we're going to be seeing here in Romans chapter 7. Being then made free from sin. As believers, we no longer have to sin. We choose to yield to that sinful nature that's still within us. Ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Notice that phrase. Iniquity unto iniquity. You think about it, iniquity leads to more iniquity. As soon as we give into that iniquity, then we just increasingly, that's why one lie leads to another and another and another and so on. Even so, now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Notice, we are yielding the members of this body as a servant of righteousness unto holiness, as a servant of God. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Notice that. We were free from righteousness when we were servants of sin. We couldn't do right. Well, wait a minute. I have a neighbor that does right. They're acting out of their sinful flesh. The devil controls religious people. Right. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? You think about some of the things that we have done over the course of our lifetime that we're now ashamed of. For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Now, we often quote Romans 6:23 to the unsaved. Yeah, this is true, but in the context, Romans 6 and 7 is written to believers. For the wages of sin is death. There is a consequence when we give in to sin, when we serve sin. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You don't need to turn there. Let me read for you John chapter 8. Remember what Jesus said about serving sin. He says here, John chapter 8, verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? They're totally blind to their current condition, because they were in bondage to Rome at that point, and Israel had been in bondage to many other empires. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So I want you to consider here, as Jesus says, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. I'm free to do as I please. No, you're not. If you choose to do things contrary to God's holy nature, then you are actually placing yourself into bondage. So again, we see here that we are not free to do anything as we please. We will do things, and we will be either a servant to righteousness or a servant unto sin. Third, I want you to consider also in Romans chapter 7 then, how we increasingly experience victory in our lives. Rely upon Jesus Christ for victory. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. I want you to notice as we read down through this passage here, how many times the pronoun I is used. All right, so if somebody says, I'm having trouble finding victory in my life. I just can't say no to my flesh. When that takes place, then there's a focus on me. There's a focus on this person right here. So I want you to consider here, self-effort always eventually leads to defeat. It says here in verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, fleshly, sold under sin." So here Paul's talking about this inner battle that goes on with the new nature and the old nature. "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." Oh, I hate it when I give in. I mean, that's the idea that he's talking about here. I hate it when I do that. "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good." Notice, if I do that which I would not, I don't want to do that. Notice in reality, he's consenting to the fact that the law is good. Why? Because the law points out the fact that that is not right. Verse 17, "Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." And again, he's already said in Romans chapter 6 that we do not have to yield to this sin. We can yield ourselves as servants of righteousness. It's no more I that do it, but sin that's still dwelling in this flesh. That's why he said, there's nothing good in this flesh. Verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, my sinful flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Notice I. I forgot in my wide margin Bible, I have the pronoun I circled. I mean, it's just my page is full of ink. I mean, that's how much he's talking and focused on himself. And again, in our sinful flesh, we are not going to conquer sinful flesh. Can you imagine how, I hadn't really thought about that until I just said that. Trying to conquer this sinful flesh with sinful flesh. It's not going to happen long term. "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law law of God after the inward man." Oh, the new nature wants to do what God expects, and you know, we want to please him. "But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind." Notice here, that's where the victory is won or lost, is in the mind. "Bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am." Notice this despair here. "Oh, wretched man that I am. What shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Is that what the Bible says? It's a person. I wonder how many times people turn to a program to find victory over their flesh. They turn to a prescription, or they turn to psychology or a psychiatrist or something like that to conquer their flesh. I want you to think about the fact that it's not any of those things. It's not what, it's who. "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." I want you to consider how this works. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. We'll talk about this here in a moment. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. We have a new nature. When we're tempted to do something that is commanded and forbidden in Scripture, I believe the Holy Spirit, that's when the Holy Spirit says, "You don't want to do that. You don't do that. Don't do that." The Holy Spirit's reminding us. So then it becomes presumptuous sin when we say, "Well, I'm going to do it anyway." Well, we don't necessarily do it that boldly. We just kind of stifle the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. "But I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Can I remind you that Paul says in Galatians 2:20, "I do not live the Christian life, but I live by the faith of the Son of God." It's Christ living in me. He's living out the Christian life through me. So again, our old man, our sin nature is doing this battle here. Now, it's very interesting. I was reminded of this as I was doing some reading and checked out some things in Wide Margin Bible that I have. It says, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Years ago, I remember reading one of the things that sometimes the Roman Empire would do as far as their penalties in their empire there. The Roman government would sometimes bind a convicted murderer to the body of his victim. Can you imagine that? I mean, literally, that's a sentence of death. From what I've read, that's the picture that Paul is writing. It's like, what are you talking about? The body of death. That's a real thing in the Roman culture from what I've read. What we're talking about, we're still dragging around this old sinful nature with us. Okay, we're bound to that sinful nature until we receive a glorified body. And again, oh wretched man, who's going to help me to conquer this? It's who, not what. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we need to learn to depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Fourth, I want you to consider also we must yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, as I mentioned in passing a moment ago. Notice chapter 8, verse 1. This is all in the context of Paul presenting sanctification, sanctified living, as a believer in Christ. There is therefore now, not in the future, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's exactly what Jesus said when he was ministering to the multitudes, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Notice that statement. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So in other words, we're walking in the filling of the Holy Spirit, the control of the Holy Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Notice, the Holy Spirit makes us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Notice this again. He emphasizes this twice. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, Bible critics like to say that this is a copyist error. You know, the statement from verse 1 was stated again at the end of verse 4. I don't think so. God is emphasizing, notice, we're not walking after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But again, in that context, he says in verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. So notice this law that we cannot fulfill in the Old Testament. But it says through the working of the Holy Spirit, through the working of the Lord Jesus Christ, they enable us, these persons of the Godhead, enable us to keep the righteousness of the law. Why? Because Jesus Christ fulfilled the righteousness of the law. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Okay, so somebody who's fleshly, they're focused on the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, with that statement, I want you to consider also Galatians chapter 5. We've looked at this from time to time, but I want you to see this in this context here of yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit. We do not have to do it in ourselves. In fact, that's why Paul is admitting that he was a failure back in Romans chapter 7, because he was trying to do it in the energy of the flesh. Again, that's what he talked about. That's what he mentioned with the churches of Galatia. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? All right, so notice here in relation to this, the Holy Spirit helping us to live a victorious Christian life. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right, so we're talking about living the Christian life. I'm walking, I'm living the Christian life. Notice, yielding myself to the filling of the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Spirit is one time. Filling is an ongoing thing. Notice he says, then ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, if we walk in the Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. This is a verse I mentioned a moment ago. And the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other. There's an antagonistic relationship, right? So if we're living in the flesh, there's no way we can allow the Holy Spirit to help us. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. It's impossible. That's what he says there. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Of course, he leads us with what? The Word of God. All right, so the Holy Spirit's reminding us of these things. And notice also he's giving us the power to do these things. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, etc., etc., etc. This is not an exhaustive list, because he says, and such like. That's like us saying, etc., etc., etc. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are things, those are works of the flesh. That's what our flesh produces. In contrast, notice the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There is no restraint on these things. The Holy Spirit wants to produce an abundant crop in our lives. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. There's the problem right there. We have not crucified our flesh in an ongoing sense. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Notice, they have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. See, there's the problem. We try to resurrect these affections and lusts from time to time, and that's why we struggle with our flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Notice again that phrase, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So we must yield ourselves to the filling of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:13 says, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Notice, it's through the Holy Spirit's help that we put to death this sinful flesh. Also, I want you to be reminded of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Let me say it again. We're going to try to conquer our sinful nature, our sinful flesh, with sinful flesh. It does not work. Every time we try that, maybe not right away, because I have willpower. Okay, you have willpower right now, but I mean, you're going to fall flat on your face because you're trying to do it in your own energy, your own strength. But again, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons, spiritual weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God is the one who helps us to pull down these strongholds in our lives, that helps us to be able to say no to our sinful flesh. Finally, I want you to notice Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Here's another reason why we fall flat on our faces and deal with our sinful flesh. Make not provision for the flesh. In reality, when we reflect and look back on why we fail the Lord sometimes, if we walk our steps back, Lord, I shouldn't have done that. Lord, I should have changed, had a different thinking there. I mean, we walk backwards. I think we often see why we fail. Notice it says here in verse 11, that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But notice this in verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so we're talking about a relationship that the Lord is going to help us. Notice the Lord Jesus Christ, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, I believe this is a conscious effort. And again, the life that I live, I now live by the faith of the Son of God. I believe we have to consciously do this. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible says elsewhere, you know, we're to have the mind of Christ. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Making provision for the flesh. Can I remind you that the Lord says, or Paul through Paul, that God is faithful. He always gives us a way of escape. The problem is we dwell so much on the desire of the flesh that we stay there too long and we miss the opportunity to escape. 1 Peter 2:11 says, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. I want you to notice one other passage in relation to this, not making provision for the flesh. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Do not make a way for the flesh to put you under again, in bondage. 1 Peter 4, verses 1 through 5. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, all right, so this is why Jesus had to take on human flesh, so that he could suffer for us in the flesh. The only way God could die for us is he took on flesh. He became like us with human flesh. All right, so Jesus Christ died how many times? Once for all, right? The book of Hebrews very clearly says that. Notice what he says now with that in mind. Peter says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. All right, so as you think about the fact that the mind of Christ, we're arming ourselves with the mind of Christ, we think about the fact that Jesus Christ suffered for sin once. He's not on a crucifix. He's not sacrificed every mass. Once for all, he's risen forever and seated at the right hand of majesty on high. For he that hath suffered in the flesh, notice this, hath ceased from sin. Never again will Jesus Christ take our sin into himself. Never again will he suffer for sin. That's, I believe, the idea that he's talking about here. All right, so it was once and for all. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Notice, if we have this mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not going to yield ourselves to this sin if we stay focused on that. Again, so many times we focus on the sin, the desire, rather than pleasing the Lord. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, the abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Hey, want to go for a drink? No, I don't do that anymore. Yeah. So you better not do it again, because you ever go back into that kind of lifestyle, because, I knew it. I knew it wouldn't last. So again, we notice here, they think it's strange that you don't run with them to the same excess of riot, speaking, then they speak evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? You know, we have to remember, when we yield to the flesh, we're going to give an account to somebody someday. Making no provision for the flesh. Let me emphasize this again. We cannot conquer our flesh with our flesh. We are not able to do that. In fact, again, the Bible says in Ephesians and various places that an unsaved person, they just do what comes naturally. They just do what their sin nature tells them to do. Well, there's somebody else living inside us now when we place our faith in Jesus Christ. So as we think about this, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, they want to help us live the Christian life. They want to do it through us. But again, the whole key to that is not giving in or not making provision for our flesh. Many times we struggle with our flesh because we give our flesh a pass. Think about that. Many times we struggle with the flesh because we give our flesh a pass. How did Paul say that as far as temperate living, temperate in all things? He says, I buffet my body and bring it into subjection. Through the Lord's help, he says no to his flesh. We're not doing that because I don't want to be a slave again to sin. Father, I pray that you'd help us to examine our own lives in relation to our sinful flesh. Help us to not yield and give in to those things. Lord, so often we make provision and make an allowance and giving our flesh a pass. So many times we make excuses for our failure when you have told us that you have given us the power. So Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have the mind of Christ in this. Lord, help us to understand that we can be servants of righteousness if we yield our members as servants of righteousness. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.